Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30 is where we're going to read. And then in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 26, we're going to read here as well. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption." How many believe we're sealed until Jesus comes? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. When I just read that word tender-hearted, I thought of my grandson. I don't know what God's going to do with Sawyer, but I know this, he's got a tender heart. Amen. And I appreciate that. I want to have a tender heart. And then the Bible said in Ephesians 4:26, "Be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath." So in verse number 31, he said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. And yet in verse number 4, or chapter 4, verse 26, he said, be ye angry and sin not. I want to bring a message today entitled, Two Kinds of Anger. There's two kinds of anger that are portrayed in the Word of God. And I believe that the Lord wants to speak to our hearts and help us. Amen. You can be seated. Pray with us, please. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, this morning that you'll help us in the message. Lord, there's a lot of ground to cover. But Lord, I pray that you'll just help us, Lord, to cover what you want us to today. God, I thank you for dealing in my heart. I thank you, Lord, that you have access to my heart, to my mind. And Lord, that I can know when the Spirit of God is leading me. I thank you for that, Lord. Lord, I can't pastor this church without you. I can't even be the husband I ought to be, Lord, without you. With the dad, with the papa. I pray, God, that you'd help me just to be the brother in Christ that I ought to be. I can't be that without you, Lord. I need your help. I pray today, Lord, you'll help me in the message. God will give you glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, and amen. To set the message up today, I'm going to do a little bit of reading. And I think it's important so that you'll know where that we're coming from, how that God is dealing in our heart and in our life. There's two kinds of anger. Let me just go ahead and give them to you. First of all, there's an unrighteous anger, and then there's a righteous anger. That's the two categories that anger falls under. That's why the Bible could say, be angry and sin not. That would be a righteous anger. And then the Bible would say, let all anger and clamor and all those other things be put away from you. That would be an unrighteous anger. The Bible tells us to be swift to hear and slow to speak. Not too long ago in one of the devotions that we put out with our youngins and young couples, I talked about a pop-off valve on a hot water heater. When the pressure gets on or when the temperature gets too high, there's a valve that will pop off and allow the pressure to escape so that the hot water heater won't explode. Can I tell you that human beings, they have a pop-off valve. If you look in the mirror, it's located right under your nose. Amen. You get under pressure, you get angry, and sometimes you open that mouth and you say things that you wish you hadn't said.
Amen.
Amen. You say, how do you know? I'll give you 10 guesses and the first 9 don't count.
Amen.
And let me say this. It usually happens with people that you love the most.
Amen.
Amen. How sad that is. So I want to cover some ground today, and I pray the Lord will help us. We all struggle with moments of anger, whether we're faced with a small annoyance or an overwhelming situation. Rather than lashing out with harsh words and actions, which only leave us with guilt and shame, we can stop and focus on the Scripture for help. The Bible teaches us that not all anger is wrong. Righteous anger stems from an anger that arises when we witness an offense against God or His Word. Righteous anger cares about others. It attacks the sin instead of the sinner. It's important to consider what can result from our anger. Will our anger produce actions that intend to make the world a better place and help bring people to hear the gospel in a loving way? Or will our anger retaliate, isolate, and cause someone to potentially stray away from the faith because of our actions? We should be slow to become angry and filter all of our emotions through how God wants us to respond to others through the Word of God. I thought that was worth reading this morning. And there's other things that I'll read throughout the message. A righteous anger versus an unrighteous anger. And as we talk about that unrighteous anger, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but I want to give you an illustration. And I thought this was really good. And then it's personal towards the end with a man that I love, and I've seen a change in his life. Here's how it goes. Many years ago, a senior executive of the then Standard Oil Company, he made a wrong decision that cost the company more than $2 million. Think about that, making a decision that would cost the company $2 million. John D. Rockefeller was then running the firm. On the day the news leaked out, most of the executives of the company were finding various ingenious ways of avoiding Mr. Rockefeller. I believe I'd want to avoid him too, lest his wrath descend on their heads. But there was one exception, however. He was Edward T. Bedford, a partner in the company. Don't be bored with this. This will help us if we'll get the point of what's being said right here. I promise you it'll help us. There was one exception, however, Edward T. Bedford, a partner in the company. Bedford was scheduled to see Rockefeller that day, and he kept the appointment, even though he was prepared to listen to a long harangue against the man who made the error in judgment. When he entered the office, the powerful head of the gigantic Standard Oil empire was bent over his desk, busily writing with a pencil on a pad of paper. Bedford stood silently, not wishing to interrupt. After a few minutes, Rockefeller looked up. "Oh, it's you, Bedford," he said calmly. "I suppose you've heard about our loss." Bedford said that he had. "I've been thinking it over," Rockefeller said, "and before I ask the man in to discuss the matter, I've been making some notes." Bedford later told the story this way. He said, "Across the top of the page was written, 'Points of favor in Mr.'" And in the illustration, there's just a blank. "I called him Mr. Wrong Decision." Anybody ever made one of them?
Amen.
Amen. There followed a long list of the man's virtues, including a brief description of how he had helped the company make the right decision on three separate occasions that had earned many times the cost of his recent error. He said, "I never forgot that lesson, and years later, whenever I was tempted to rip into anyone, I forced myself first to sit down and thoughtfully compile as long a list of good points as I possibly could. Invariably, by the time that I finished my inventory, I would see the matter in its true perspective and keep my temper under control." There is no telling how many times this habit has prevented me from committing one of the costliest mistakes an executive can make: losing his temper. He said, "I commend it to anyone who must deal with people." My son-in-law has been a manager at Walmart for years, and then now he's at Lowe's, and he's a manager at Lowe's. I called him on the phone a while ago to make sure that what I was going to say to you was accurate. I said, I don't want to say something, amen. I'll give an account for what I say from this pulpit. But before he got saved, often, I mean often, in our discussions, he would say like this, "I'm going to have to rip somebody's face off today." He would say that. He was the manager. He was dealing sternly with people that weren't doing their job. And that's the way he put it. "I'm going to have to rip somebody's face off today." Then something happened. My son-in-law got saved. And did you know that he's a good manager? But he no longer feels it necessary to rip people's face off. And he deals with his employees in a completely different manner. You say, I've seen it not only in an illustration, but I've seen it in a young man's life. Amen. The Lord Jesus can make the difference. So let's talk just a little bit about this righteous anger. Some of this, actually only one instance that I'm going to share with you today, I was already familiar with. And the rest of them, as I've studied, the Lord has revealed it to me. And because it's not always worded like we would think of in anger until you dig deeper and you find out what that Greek word means. Amen. And so the first time that we see that righteous anger that we're going to look at today is a righteous anger concerning the family. If you want to look in your Bible, you'll be in Mark chapter 10 and verse number 13. The Bible said, "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought him." So could you see a mom or a dad bringing their children to Jesus? And the word of God said, the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. And he said unto them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and he blessed them. When you look at this little phrase, he was much displeased, if you look into the Greek word, it comes up with the definition to have or to be moved with indignation. Now listen, this upset Jesus. You say, "Pastor, you really believe he got upset?" I do. Listen to Merriam-Webster 1828 definition of indignation. Anger, extreme anger, mingled with contempt, disgust, or abhorrence. I believe Jesus was angry because the disciples were coming between him and the children that he wanted to bless and that he wanted to help. Did you know there are actually churches, beloved, that would never have a young'un come in with a driveway that's got clay mud because they're more concerned about their carpet than they are that child? Let me tell you something. If you want to upset Jesus, you just get between him and the children. Say amen. That upsets him. And he was angry at that. The anger of a superior, extreme anger, particularly the wrath of God against sinful man for their ingratitude and rebellion. The effects of anger, the dreadful effects of God's wrath, terrible judgment. A person who is angry, listen to me, on the right grounds, against the right persons, in the right manner, at the right moment, and for the right length of time, deserves great praise. Well, guess what? Our Lord deserves great praise. He was always angry at the right person, at the right time, for the right length of time. And what God wants us to see today is there is an unrighteous anger, but thank God Almighty, there's a righteous anger as well. Amen. Brother Chuck, you're familiar with this story. Brother Hiles, years ago, he talked about going to that church and there was a bunch of people griping and complaining. They were running old school buses. You could buy them old school buses for a song. And they leaked oil. And they leaked transmission fluid. And they leaked grease out of the rear end. And one of the deacons said to him one day, said, "Listen, I'm tired of this oil on this parking lot." Said, "Mr. Moody, he didn't have buses. And he had a great Sunday school." And the pastor looked back at him and said, "You're correct." Said, "Mr. Moody brought him in with horses and buggies. Wonder what was on his parking lot." Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, if you want to get on the wrong side of Jesus, you get between him and a young'un that's trying to come to Jesus. Amen. I believe that, beloved, is a good illustration, don't you? Amen. Now listen, this is the duty. I read this and I think it's worthy of sharing with you. This is the duty for children's ministry, workers, and especially for parents. The prayers and words of a parent can mean so much in the salvation of a child. Long into his adult life, Charles Spurgeon recalled the prayers of his mother for him. Now, I want y'all to listen. Then, he said, then came a mother's prayer. And some of the words of Mother's Prayer we shall never forget. Even when our hair is gray, I remember on one occasion my mother praying like this. Now, Lord, if my children go on in their sins, it will not be from ignorance that they perish. And my soul must bear a swift witness against them at the day of judgment if they lay not hold of Christ. That thought of a mother bearing swift witness against me pierced my conscience and stirred my heart. I'm telling you, beloved, what Spurgeon's mother was saying is, Lord, if they die without God, go to hell. It ain't going to be because Mom didn't teach them about a holy God that gave his darling son to die on an old rugged cross. Amen. I tell you, you say, Pastor, you can't make children. No, no, no. You can't make them. But I tell you, you can point them. And according to the Word of God, those disciples were getting between Jesus and those children. And beloved, I want to tell you this. It upset him. And I believe it still does today. Amen. And so there's two kinds of anger. There's that unrighteous anger that God says to flee from. And then there's that righteous anger, first concerning the family. I'm telling you, God is a family man. Amen. God loves the family. Let me give you something to think about. He ordained the family long before he ever ordained the church. Are you listening to me? God loves the church, but God loves the family. No wonder Satan is doing everything he can to break up the family. God loves the family. Secondly, a righteous anger concerning the faith. Stay with me, please. Psalm chapter 78 and verse number 16. This is what the Bible said. He brought streams also out of the desert and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. This is speaking of the children of Israel. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Now listen to verse 21. Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. He was angry. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel. Why? Because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. You may never have thought about it like this, but I'm telling you, beloved, unbelief. Amen. Listen, it's been said in testimony. It's been said in the choir singing. But I'm telling you, God's been good to us. And the goodness of God has a design about it. It's to lead us to repentance, not lead us away from the God of heaven. The Bible said, kiss the Son. That's capital S, the Son of God. Lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Listen, we don't like verses like this sometimes, but God put every word in this Bible for a reason. He's saying, listen, there are times when I'm angry and I have a right to be angry at the right person at the right time. It's a righteous anger that comes from God, because in God there is no unrighteousness. There is no sin. God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. You say, Pastor, I don't like that verse of Scripture. Well, it don't matter whether we like it or not. It's in the same Bible that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's in the same Bible that says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's in the same Bible, Brother Garrett said, he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll go with us all the way to the end of the world. You better listen to every word of God. Thou, even thou, Psalm 76 and 7, art to be feared. And who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? Isaiah 12 and 1, in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away. Oh, I went back to February 22nd, 1987. Oh, I'd lived a life for 27 years, beloved, on the wrong side of Calvary, on the wrong side of God's love, on the wrong side of God's mercy. But that night I got up and swallowed my pride and said yes to the Lamb of God, and his anger was turned away. And that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry, that's past tense. There was a time when he was angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. It's a righteous anger concerning the family. It's a righteous anger concerning the faith. There's only one real reason that people leave this world without Jesus. It's unbelief. There may be many things in the subcategory under that. But beloved, unbelief, leaving this world without Christ, it's a righteous anger. And then I want to give you this. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 18. Matthew chapter number 18. Matthew chapter number 18. I'm going to read some Bible verses, okay? And I want you to know this is not something that I dreamed up. Actually, when the Lord nudged my heart the first time, I said, Lord, I don't want to preach on anger. I want you to key in on the word wrath. Wrath. I'm telling you, beloved, God wants us to see. Amen. There's some things that make our Lord angry. The Bible said in Matthew chapter number 18 and verse number 21, we're going to read all the way to verse 35. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say unto thee, until 77 times, not until, I say unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, and he said, Lord, have patience with me. I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. In other words, pennies on the dollar. Listen, and he laid hands on him and he took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And the fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. And he would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then the Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was, what's that next word? Wroth. And delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. You know what this scripture is telling us? An unforgiven spirit makes our Lord angry. Here's what Jesus can say to us. Brother Jack, after all I've forgiven you for, big boy, don't you walk around with an unforgiven spirit and refuse to forgive someone else. We have no right to. And I'm telling you that angers the Lord. Amen. After all that he has forgiven us, you say, well, Pastor, I didn't really live that wicked of a life. You need to understand the verse of Scripture where it says, if a man keeps the whole law and yet offends in one point, he's guilty of all. That means if you were saved when you were 6 or you were saved when you were 60, it means, beloved, you were guilty, amen, of the same sin debt. And God forgave us that sin debt. And he tells us to forgive one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. It makes God angry when his people refuse to forgive. A righteous anger concerning forgiveness. Turn to John chapter number 2 with me for a moment, please. John chapter number 2. Not only is there a righteous anger concerning the family and concerning the faith and concerning forgiveness. Let me say this to you. I just feel compelled to back up and say this. You say, Pastor, what if I've asked somebody to forgive me and they refuse to? You're clear. Say amen. Amen. You can't do anything else about that. I could tell you a story that's real close to home in my own life. How that God woke me up on Thanksgiving morning at 4 o'clock last year. And I drove right at 100 miles, amen, because that's what God told me to do. But the man refused to even talk to me. All he wanted to do was just put, and listen, really, I didn't do anything wrong, amen. I say that with a clear heart, amen. It was none of his business what went on between me and my father, amen. But I'm just telling you, beloved, my heart is clear. My mind is clear. I have done what the Lord. My wife got up that morning and she said to me, she said, where are you going? And it was early and I was standing in the kitchen and she looked at me. She said, you're going to see your brother, aren't you? I said, yes, I am. Amen. Why? Because nothing would have pleased my Lord more than reconciliation. Amen. I'd done what I could. Amen. And I'd do it again if God told me to do it again. Amen. Because my heart with God needs to be clear. A righteous anger concerning forgiveness. Now let's look in John chapter number 2 and verse number 13 through verse number 16. The Bible said here, and the Jews' Passover was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. Now you understand in this economy that people had to have these things in order to sacrifice unto the Lord. And Jesus said here, the Bible said he found the changers of money sitting, and when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. Did you know we're living in a generation where no one wants to see that side of Jesus? He was angry. You know, it reminds me, Brother Chris, years ago that somebody had a little nephew that came and visited the church, the first church that I pastored. And when I preach, sometimes I get a little bit loud, you know. And anyway, this little nephew looked up at his aunt and he said, he mad? She said, no, honey, he's just preaching. No, he mad. He really mad. I want you to know about Jesus right here. He mad. He really mad. He's angry. Amen. Because they've turned the Father's house that was supposed to be a house of prayer into a house of merchandise. Now, there's a lot of people that'll use that right there, and they'll say things like, well, somebody comes in to sing. They ain't got no business putting up tapes and stuff like that. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen, you can take anything to the extreme. Paul said, have you not houses to eat in? That means you can't have fellowship on. That's what a lot of people believe. Say amen. We need to have a little bit of common sense about us. Amen. If somebody's offering to bless you with their music and you're offering to bless them with a love gift, amen, then thank God Almighty for that. Amen. That means they don't have to die that night. You can listen to them sing from now on. Amen. Just plug it in and go and worship the Lord. But here, Jesus was angry. I don't know if anybody can even close your eyes and see Jesus. He made the scourge of small cord. He drove them out of the temple. He didn't get up and give a speech and say, would y'all please leave? It was your going, like it or not. Amen. A lot of people see Jesus as a wimp. Jesus was not a wimp. He was a man's man. Amen. And I don't believe he wore his hair like a woman either. I'll just throw that out there. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, God was angry because of the way that they were treating the Father's house. Let me give you this, and I'm going to close in a moment. That's four things. There was a righteous anger concerning the family, concerning the faith, concerning forgiveness, and concerning the Father's house. And I'm going to add these two words, on earth. That was concerning the Father's house on earth. But now the last thing that God gave me is there's a righteous anger concerning the Father's house in heaven. I'm going to show it to you. Turn to Matthew chapter 22 with me, please. I told you yesterday that I was reading in the book of Matthew when I ran across that first phrase there about the children. And then I tried to skip it. I tried to get away from it. You know what? My God is patient. Say amen. Amen. I'm telling you, there's subjects that God's men would rather not preach on. Amen. I don't take joy in preaching on some of the things that I must preach. But I'll tell you this. When God shows you, you better go with God. Really, you better go with God. Matthew chapter 22, we're going to start reading in verse number 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son. Did you know, beloved, listen, he's speaking in parables, but did you know that the Bible speaks in the book of Revelation of the marriage of the Lamb? I mean, he's glad you're going to be there. And you know, I'm going to be welcome there because I've got on the right garment. The garment is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. You'll see that in a moment. Watch this. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. You know, I got to thinking, Brother Chris, I'm not sure this is not a picture of Israel, of the Jews. He came unto his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And again, he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. How many has been around Miss Eve? She's in children's church this morning long enough to know she's a wonderful cook. Amen. I didn't get this big starving to death. I can tell you that right now. Amen. She's a wonderful cook. Well, I'm going to tell you something, Brother Mike. Listen, me and you love each other, don't we, brother? Okay. Let's just say Miss Eve put on this big spread, and she's invited Mike and Debbie. And we've invited Mike and Debbie, and we're looking for Mike and Debbie at 6 o'clock. And Mike and Debbie don't show up. And it's 6:30. And it's 7. And it's 7:30. And it's 8. 9 o'clock, Brother Mike calls me and said, We just decided to go down to Hardee's and get us a hamburger. You know what I'm about to do? I'm about to have a righteous anger. Amen. And I might say something like this. I hope the next one you eat, you choke to death on it. Amen. No, the Bible said vengeance is mine. I will repay. But I want you to know this king has made a supper. And King Jesus has made a supper. And let me tell you what I can say without apology. Everybody's invited. Glory to God. There's a wedding invitation going out. Everybody's invited. Watch what happened. He sent forth other servants, tell them which are bidden. Behold, I prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed. All things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But notice this, they made light of it. Man alive, I mean, you could plug in a lot of things right there, but they just, I mean, it means nothing to them. Did you know this world's full of people that Calvary means nothing to them? The blood of Jesus means nothing to them. The Bible means nothing to them. The church of the living God means nothing to them. Watch this. They made light of it. And when their ways, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. In other words, there's another parable. They began to make excuse. One said, I bought a piece of ground. I must go see it. To me, one of the most ignorant things you could do is buy a piece of ground without seeing it. I'd want to see it first. Say amen. Of course, nowadays you could see it on Google Maps, I guess, you know, or see a whole lot of it. But anyway, they didn't have Google Maps back then. And the remnant took his servant and entreated them spitefully and slew them. This is what's went on down through the church ages. There's people that's died with their Bible burned at the stake, boiled in oil, because drawn asunder, tie a horse to this hand, a horse to this hand, a horse to this leg, and put the horses going in different directions till it just pulls their body. There's people that's died for the faith, amen, the servants of the living God. Rather than deny Jesus, they'd rather die than deny Jesus. But when the king heard thereof, he was, what's that next word? He was angry. He was very angry. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Now you say, Pastor, what's going on here? Well, if you'll read the book of Revelation, Jesus is going to ride out of heaven one day on a white horse. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword, and the blood's going to run as deep as the horse's bridle in the valley of Armageddon. Are you listening to me? A lot of people say, oh, he's the gentle Jesus. He sure is. But I'm telling you what, you can make that gentle Jesus angry.
Amen.
And there's a righteous anger concerning the Father's house on earth, but here it's concerning the Father's house in heaven. And he said this, then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Somebody had come to the wedding without a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou hither not having a wedding garment? And I love this. I got this underlined. I underlined it years ago in my Bible. He was speechless. There's a lot of people say things like this. Well, when I stand before God, I'm going to tell him this and I'm going to tell him that. I started to say good luck, but that don't work. You're not going to tell him anything. You're going to be as speechless as this fellow was. Amen. In other words, beloved, there's people that think they're going to go to heaven because they give this much money, or because they've been in a baptistry somewhere, or because they belong to a church somewhere. I'm going to tell you what, the songwriter got it right, Brother Dale. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. He ain't looking for nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Been applied in your life. He said, well, what's that got to do with a wedding garment? Well, if you got the blood applied, you get this robe of righteousness. And I love it, the song that says, when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. He sees me in garments as white as the snow. For the Lamb of God is worthy. He washed me. This I know. Thank God for the righteousness of Jesus. And he said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Jesus again speaking these parables to the Jews, to the Jew first, and also the Greek the Bible talks about. And beloved, he's letting them know, just because you're Abraham's seed, that don't mean you're going to get in. There's a Savior that's come along. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
Thou shalt save his people from their sin. There's two kinds of anger. I'll be honest with you. I'm having a hard time. I think I know the last time. I'm having a hard time remembering the last time that I was angry. I think I know one time I was angry, and I've told you about it here. When I was building a chimney and sweating and working, had people in the hospital. and just trying to get the wood stove moved out of the den upstairs down into the basement because of the mess, the wood ashes and the dust and all of that. And Miss Eve, she said to me, "What are you going to put on the wall behind the stove?" And I blew a gasket. I mean, I didn't cuss or nothing like that, but I looked at her and said, "My goodness, woman, I ain't even got the chimney built yet, and you're wanting to know what I'm going to put on the stove or on the wall behind the stove?" And there was my wife with a laundry basket in her hand, hanging up our laundry, Brother Gary, to save on the electric bill. She didn't have to. She had a dryer. But she... That's the kind of woman she is. She wanted to save on the electric bill. And she also knew that we both like the sheets. That they smell better if they hang outside in God's air. Amen. Unless you live in Kingsport. But anyway. Or Johnson City, right, Brother Rick? Amen. Better off. Throw a dryer sheet in there and put them in the dryer. Amen. And I hurt my wife. She turned with that basket of clothes and started up the steps to go outside. And I went up the steps to go out of the basement outside, and I met my wife in the backyard. And I said, "Eve, I need to talk to you." I'm talking about probably no more than a minute and 30 seconds had went by. I hollered at my son. He was in the basement. "Jeremy, come up here." He come up there, and I said, "Son, you heard the first part of this conversation. I want you to hear the second part." He heard me snap at my wife. And by the way, beloved, when you're tired, that's a good time for the old devil to get in there. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
You're frustrated. You got 10,000 things to do. It don't seem like you can get them done. And I looked at my wife and I said, "Honey, I'm sorry I talked to you like that." I said, "We'll put on the wall behind the stove whatever you want to put on it. I'll do my best to get done." And I looked at my son, Chris, and I said, "Jeremy, don't ever get the idea that's the way you're supposed to talk to a woman." I said, "Baby, I'm sorry." And you know what? She forgave me. I still got all my teeth. I never got a black eye. She still cooks for me. Amen. She forgave me. But you know, none of us youngins are past getting out of order. Say amen.
Amen.
But there's some things that God said. When God gives you the invitation to come, He's invited you to supper. And you keep rejecting that invitation. It's dangerous. It upsets Him. Amen. He's invited you. I would love to break out in song, but the Inspirations, they sing a song. You're invited to a wedding that will be held soon. We are the bride. Christ is the groom. And you know, nothing would please me more than that everybody that's here today to look across the table and there you are, robed in the righteousness of Christ. That would give new meaning to what a day that will be.
Yeah.
When my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. A righteous anger concerning the family, concerning the faith, concerning forgiveness, concerning the Father's house on earth, and concerning the Father's house in heaven. Father, I thank You this morning for the privilege to come in Your presence. God, I have done my best to deliver what You've put in my heart. Thank You, Lord, that, Lord, when we blow it with You, You're a forgiving God. When we blow it with each other, Lord, because the Spirit of God lives in us, we can forgive one another. We can walk together to the house of God with nothing between us because, Lord, You've forgiven us. You've given us the ability to forgive others. Paul said, to whom I forgave anything, in the person of Christ forgave I it. Jesus gets all the glory, Lord, when forgiveness happens. Whether it's man to man or man to God. I pray, Father, today that you'll bless in this invitation. Lord, you're inviting others to the wedding. That wedding could take place before the special singing practice tonight. I pray, God, that you'll help us to respond to your invitation, to know our Father, that you love us, God, that you will save to the uttermost those that come unto God by Jesus. We love you, Lord. Help us, we pray. We're going to stand to our feet.